This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Big time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve a Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast Mr. John Rossiter of Pueblo, Colorado. John is a guitar player. And he needed guitar tuners. Now, instead of heading up his local guitar center, John ordered tuners through Amazon. And as he put it, he had just gotten home from work, it was kind of dark, so he couldn't quite see what was in the package when it was delivered. But then he cut it open, and he assumed it was his tuners. Anyway, he reached his hand into the package, and while he could not initially determine what he was feeling, he knew that it was not guitar tuners. First of all, guitar tuners are not soft. And secondly, they don't smell like poop. Unfortunately for John, the only thing that is soft and smells like poop is poop. No one can explain exactly how this happened or why this happened, but he reached his hand into one of those Amazon envelopes to grab his guitar tuners. It was full of human excrement.
So there were no tuners in there?
There were no tuners in there. Oddly enough, he did also get his tuners. They were delivered separately. All right. No one knows who's responsible. He actually called Amazon just to say, he didn't really accuse them, but he's like, hey, man, I got a package of turds. And I'm like, I stuck my hand in it to pull out my tuners. He gave him the tracking number. And the person he talked to said, according to your tracking number, you ordered guitar tuners. He's like, I did. But you sent me an envelope of poop. Amazon's like, bro, honestly, we don't know what to tell you, man. Like he says, he does not believe he has any enemies or anything like that.
It's Scatman.
It's just... It's just inexplicable. He did get his guitar tuners in a separate package. He also got a package of turds. And nobody knows why.
Yeah.
And it was on his hand.
Is crap.
Yeah, I guess. Good God, man. So we pour this booze, and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies. Down the hola, bitchola!
The Men's Room presents... Profile This.
And Stephen Throwhill, could you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Anthony. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola,
Bichola. Hola. All right, Anthony, you understand how this year game is played.
Yes, I do. What are my options for today?
Your options today are bite me. In other words, what did someone find in their food? Hit me with your best shot, where you guess the unconventional weapon that someone chose to use as a weapon. In our latest category, seriously, where you guess the petty conflict that led to extreme violence.
Well, let's go with seriously.
After being called a name by her son, a Florida woman smacked the child, breaking his glasses and leaving him with cuts on his face. That's according to police, who arrested her on a felony abuse charge. As the story goes, Betty Union, 46 years old, was angered by the name-calling and retaliated by striking the victim, quote, with a partially opened hand. Now, the blow caused the glasses on the victim to break and a small laceration on the defendant's right cheek and his inside upper lip. The confrontation occurred in a home in the ironically named Safety Harbor, a city near Tampa. Anyway, she was busted on a felony child abuse charge and booked into the county jail. She was later released from custody under her own recognizance, but a judge ordered her to have no contact with the child. By the child, I mean her child. Additionally, she was allowed a one-time visit in the presence of police to retrieve her belongings from the residence. The question is, what did this mother of the year's son call her to end up getting slapped in the face? Did he call her a doo-doo head? Did he call her a booger face? Did he call her a biscuit lip? Or did he call her a bitch? So again, doo-doo head, booger face, biscuit lip, or bitch. What got this kid backhanded by mama?
How old was the kid?
They don't say.
All right.
But they keep saying kid, so I don't imagine he's over 15.
Anthony, I like doo-doo head. I like the way it rolls off the tongue.
And again, if you're calling somebody one of these names, probably young.
I like doo-doo head.
You want doo-doo head?
Hey, doo-doo head, give me a beer.
But did you say Betty's last name?
Union. Betty Union.
I'm just going with just a plain simple bitch.
You're going to go bitch.
Yo. Just because it sounds, I don't know, it just feels like an insult. I'm going to go with biscuit lip.
Biscuit lip. What did he call his mom to get one to the face? Doo-doo head, booger face, biscuit lip, or bitch? We'll find out next.
That was a tease.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Brand new category on Profile This, and it's called Seriously.
No, basically, it's called Seriously.
Seriously, yes. What was a dumb subject matter that caused the argument to go down?
Right.
Where are you? Anyway, Florida woman smacked her kid, broke his glasses, cut his face after he called her a name. What was the name that he called his mom? And we have no idea what the kid's age is, so we're just going to go,
wow.
Is it A, doo-doo head, B, booger face, C, biscuit lip, or D, bitch?
And, Anthony, that is a question we posed to you. Mike Hawk, you're wrong, and it was not even one of the selections up there. Let us start with Miles Montgomery.
Uh-huh.
You went with doo-doo head.
Doo-doo head.
While effective, will not generate a slap. D. Ted Smith.
Ooh. Take advantage.
D. Ted Smith, you went with biscuit lip. Biscuit lip. No. It will get you smacked in the face, but that's...
Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not what he said.
Turn out the old racist
like,
stuff.
Yeah, I was like, man, that one sounds terrible. Then we get a break. You're like, yeah, it's really racist. Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah. So, yes, you would get slapped for that, but that's not what he said. And Anthony, you want the old tried and true bitch, because look, any mom's going to slap your damn ass if you call her that to her face.
However, no!
Believe it or not, this kid got his glasses broken and got cuts to his face because he called his mom a booger face. A booger face. That is what he called her.
Well, probably a good thing they're not living together anymore.
At that point, I'm going with your theory, Steve, of like, if you're going to steal a car, steal a Lamborghini. If I'm going to get slapped for calling my mom anything, let's just, we're going for broke.
Okay, so now look. So I call my mom a booger face. She turns around, backhands me, breaks my glasses, cuts my face. Do you come back? Like, mom, if that's the case, you're a bitch.
Right,
like I called you what?
Also, that's a hell of a backhand to break glasses, to cut your face, to do all that stuff. I mean, she hit him hard. I'm curious of the
child's age. Is this a 22-year-old?
No.
Is this a 12-year-old?
I believe it's a child. Like I said, I don't even think
she's 46. So I'm trying to think. Just do the quick.
And who knows? I mean, but still, when booger face is what you say, I can't imagine you being like 18. Like,
no.
Listen here, booger face.
Good times. Now for all TV news all the time, and it's time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Ah! Booger face. Sounds like an awesome mom. My booger face.
Oh, I thought he said butter face.
Do you guys ever... Like, probably not, because you probably don't have MLB Network. Because, like, you guys are still Orioles fans. Do you ever watch any of their regular season games?
I've never been
on occasion. Miles is not an Orioles fan. On occasion. On occasion.
Well, they are currently down in L.A. taking on the Dodgers. And last night was Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night. Now, the funny... So, it's also bobblehead night. Mm-hmm. Shohei Ohtani is very famous for being the best baseball player on the planet currently.
Yeah, kind of popular.
Mariners thought they had a chance last year.
Yeah.
I'm not even getting into it. Not touching it.
Yeah.
Jesus. I forgot about that. But also, you know what? He's kind of famous besides having an interpreter who bets on games. His dog is pretty famous. So last night for the bobblehead night, they had his dog throw out the first pitch.
It's only fitting that Ohtani gets the very first golden bobblehead. And Decoy is right there with him. Go to work with your owner today. And moments ago, the first dog ever to throw out a first pitch. Was pretty darn impressive, actually. Shohei goes behind home plate. Here comes Decoy with the first pitch.
And it's a strike.
Little treat, little reward.
You tell me he works hard on his game. He works hard on training his dog, too.
It's a really sweet treat bag. That's a $700 million man treat bag.
So obviously the dog didn't throw a pitch.
Right.
That would be phenomenal news.
But I love that the crowd, the cheer from the crowd.
Have you seen the video?
I have not.
It is pretty damn cute. They put the dog, he's got a ball in his mouth. They put him on the mound 60 feet, 6 inches away. And then he just runs straight to Ohtani, who's the catcher.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's like, I don't think it's out of line to say he did throw a strike.
Yeah. That's right. Well, he didn't swing.
Right. What animal do you think could throw a baseball? Besides monkey.
Oh.
I should have got that out.
Does this include all primates?
Yeah. No primates. Nobody close to us.
I mean, maybe an octopus. If you had like an octopus in the aquarium on the mound.
I feel like a raccoon could.
Yeah, but they would kind of two-handed, like, and it doesn't go far.
Maybe a kangaroo.
Kangaroo.
Oh, good call, Miles.
I bet a
kangaroo could bring the heat.
They got the overhand,
I also wouldn't mind seeing, like, a seal. Maybe
they could do a good job?
A pitch from a rose.
Try to think. Well, not a whale.
Baby.
Because, Jesus Christ.
I can pay you to a pitch from a rose.
I know seal could throw a baseball.
Oh.
You know what? I shouldn't say that. I talk about some of the influencers I like to watch. One guy is Josh from England.
Okay.
So basically,
that's just his name, Josh from England?
Yeah. He's just a Brit, but he'll spend time in like Texas or whatever. So they let him throw out the first pitch at a minor league game in El Paso this year. And him and his buddy Chase, like, I just forget. Like, they have no clue what they're doing. It was awful.
Well, yeah, I mean, because we're used to what we're used to here. What was it? Something, I guess it was... Like soccer players trying to kick a football.
That shouldn't be that hard, though.
Just because of the shape of it.
Yeah, well, like, that's similar. But like, let me put it to you this way. Like, there's a guy named Chris Gayle, right?
Mm-hmm.
He plays, used to play for Kings 11 Punjab, my cricket team, and he plays for the West Indies. He is a massive dude, and he's famous for destroying the ball. So that last year, the Blue Jays had him up in Toronto, and like, he's a cricketer. But it wasn't that hard for him. He started cranking balls out of the stadium. So I feel like the soccer player should be able to kick a football.
I think eventually, but have you seen him throw one? No.
Oh.
How bad is that?
So, right, Stan Kroenke owns the Rams. He owns a few teams, but the Rams and Arsenal are probably his two biggest teams.
For sure.
So Arsenal played down at the Rams Stadium this year. Watching those professional soccer players try to throw a football is just...
You threw out a couple first pitches, right?
I have.
What is the mentality? What is the thought process? Is there nerves involved? Are you looking around the size of the crowd? Because it's obviously a little earlier than,
the game starts, but it's right up on it.
It is. Honestly, Miles, the first time I did it was for the Tacoma Rainiers. And my good buddy Justin Barnes, who was a good baseball player in high school, for about 2 weeks, we'd meet up three times a week and would practice throwing 60 feet, 6 inches.
Okay.
So, like, I was pretty nervous. And then when I got there, that's the famous thing, too. The guy, like, because most folks' first pitches, you don't have to get on the mound.
Mm. Do you still have your glove?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. So I had my glove and everything, and the catcher hands it to me, and I go, can I tow the mound? And he's like, yeah. Go ahead. Or I said, can I tow the rubber? And he's like, yeah, sure. Have at it. But I cruised it over the plate. I don't know if I called a strike, but it got there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is nerve-wracking. It's super awesome to do. But, yeah, I practiced because I was like, I'm not going out there and looking like a fool.
Right.
Yeah. I want to look like 50 Cent. He's got one of the worst first pitches of all time. So here's a list. I saw this the other day on BuzzFeed, and it's just celebrities who are rude and difficult to work with, according to employees and co-stars. I will say this. Some of these people, too, I think it depends on a time in their life, like anybody else.
Sure.
So this one doesn't shock me. Jennifer Lopez. They say she has illicit demands. When she performed at the Music Video Awards in 2010, she requested a custom speedboat, diamond encrusted headphones, and a helicopter on standby.
That explains a lot.
I also don't know. I think that one might have been in Miami. Like, I'm just like, why do you need a speedboat and a helicopter on standby?
That's very Miami.
What do you think's going to happen to
probably
you?
For a video thing. So just, you're right, she'll put that on her social media that right after the performance. She did the most Miami of things, right? You jet off on your speedboat. The diamond encrusted headphones, I'd say, like, look, you're a performer that makes a lot of money. Why don't you just buy those and bring them with you? Like, that should be your thing. Like, Jonathan Davis from Korn had this custom mic stand made by H.R. Geiger, the guy that designed Alien and all that kind of thing. But he does not request that you provide him one. He brings it with him.
She has enough money to buy anything that she wants. And I read the total of her engagement and wedding rings that she is never giving back, and it's over $20 million.
Damn.
So apparently she likes jewelry from people.
Ah. You don't say.
This was the one last year. Jimmy Fallon got accused of having a toxic work environment. Mm-hmm. They said he has erratic behavior behind the scenes. I also still contend Jimmy Fallon is a partier, and some days he's hungover and mean.
Mm-hmm. They even kind of said that.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was like, look, it's... We knew he's a big drinker. No big deal. A lot of people are. If he came in hung over, you could deal with him. But if he came in and he was still drunk from the night before, and we've all been there, right? That apparently he was just voracious and awful. But they said the amount of times he was still drunk from the night before kind of eclipses where any normal human being should be.
Right. I feel like that came out right around the same time as Ellen DeGeneres and James Corden. And he kind of slipped right under the radar with it because he did have an alcohol problem, does have an alcohol problem. And it just kind of...
I mean, I don't know that he never came out and said, I got an alcohol problem. He just came out and was like, all right, I'll be better about it.
Yeah.
And to his credit, it seemed like he actually sat his staff down from what I read and was like,
my bad.
Like, you got me.
But he didn't have to say he had an alcohol problem, because every story about him seemed to be alcohol related.
So almost lost a finger.
We can connect the dots. Right. Where James Corden, like, you're not drunk. Or Ellen, like, you're not drunk. There's no thing. This is just your personality.
I feel like you actually hear about... interactions with him tend to be actual good ones.
Oh, Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Like,
no bartender saying this. No waiter, no waitress.
Well, this was all from his staff.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
But I think when you have a staff that big, it's also like family sometimes, right? Like, generally, somebody could be a giant a-hole at home, but they're not going to be that way out in public.
Of course.
So I would think if you met him in public, you could see that. Let's see. Mike Myers, someone that worked on him on Cat in the Hat, said it was nightmare experience. Nightmarish experience.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
He's distant on set, and he had a guy who held chocolates for him in a Tupperware container.
I believe that.
Chocolates?
Seems like a weird...
It is. Right? It is weird.
I have heard that he's short, even with fans.
Tempered.
Tempered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think he is short. Yeah. I know. And it's always tougher with comedians, too. Because you're just so used to them having fun, and his characters are so fun that I think people associate it with, like, oh, he must be a great person. But, yeah. Mike Myers, too, like, he has had monster franchises.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't feel like he gets that same respect level of, like, other, like, I don't, like, what's it say, Austin Powers and stuff? Like, oh,
yeah. I think he will eventually. People go back and you appreciate what he's put out there. And, you know, it's funny, though, because Mike Myers, he's a funny guy. And so then when you, people that meet him expect him to be that, which I understand, and he's not. The guy that plays Homelander on The Boys,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's like the nicest guy in the world. And he's like, I've always been a nice guy. I used to, like, dance and click my heels in the air, do kid stuff. And he's like, everyone I meet, like, hates me.
I feel like, you know,
well, they're aggressive toward him when they first see him. And he goes, man, I get it. But it's like, I'm acting, guys. I'm actually a nice guy.
Also, you would not recognize him.
No.
No, not at all. But I feel like you hear that about the villainous actors as well.
Sure.
Like, you remember Jack Gleason from Game of Thrones played Joffrey, just this horrible, horrible, horrible kid.
Yeah.
He's like the nicest kid on set.
And I mean, his character.
This is what they call acting.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's
acting.
It.
Acting.
I think they just get it all out there right. While they're acting.
Yeah. So maybe sure. Mike Myers, not a good person, but he's on screen. Funny.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, we know. Like, I'm not going to mention names. Like I said, we have had some comedians in here that we've interviewed who I absolutely love. But you realize when they're not doing their act,
no.
They are just kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We took a week off. Will Ferrell's family was the place I was staying, right? And I asked everybody who met him, was he funny? Like, no, he was just hanging out with us. You're not on all the time. Like,
right.
But Will Ferrell even says that about himself.
Will Ferrell says it. I remember years ago interviewing Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
And he said the same thing. He's like, Will is not funny offset. Like, that's his thing.
He's not mean. It wasn't that.
No, it's not like he's a very nice guy. My question was he funny? He's like, no, he's here with his family.
Yeah, everyone said, dude, he's just boring. Even Will Ferrell says, look, man, if I don't have a script, I am the most average, boring person on earth. No one says anything bad, but he's like, I just...
Look, even some comedians, right? Their acts are phenomenal. But to me, they're not... I wouldn't call them funny people.
Yes.
Because they can't really ad-lib and this and that.
Right.
You know
they
what
have
I mean?
Funny jokes, but right.
Right. They're great comedic writers. They're great comedians. I'm just like, you just... When you meet them in person, you're like, oh, that guy's not that funny.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Julia Roberts. Steven Spielberg, of all people, said she was difficult to work with on Hook. Remember, she played Tinker Bell?
Mm-hmm.
And the crew referred to her as Tinker Hell.
Oh. Well, maybe that's why she hasn't worked in 20 years.
I don't know but that does not shock me.
But Julia Roberts?
Yes. She strikes me as the type that would be a little bit on the high maintenance side.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's been her life for, 40 freaking years.
Right.
I don't know if she even knows that she's difficult at that point.
This one again does not surprise me. I like his films. He strikes me as a super serious dude. Edward Norton.
Yeah.
The president of Marvel said he lacked a collaborative spirit during his time as the Hawk, and that's why he was replaced with Mark Ruffalo.
Takes himself too seriously from what I can glean.
Right, and he makes phenomenal films.
He's a fantastic actor, right? But nothing about him says, like, you know what, dude, I want to go have a drink with this guy.
No. Yeah, like, Edward Norton is one of those actors that, like, if I walked by him, I don't think...
In College Park, right?
What's that?
That's where he's from.
Ed Norton's from College Park, Maryland?
I'm pretty sure he's from
Maryland, at least, yeah.
He might be from Maryland. But, yeah, like,
or
I would...
Boston.
But, yeah, I was like, I don't think he... but, yeah, I wouldn't say hi to that guy. Bill
Columbia.
Murray.
Sorry, he was raised in Columbia, Maryland.
Oh, Columbia, Maryland. Okay. That makes sense. Bill Murray.
Nicest town in America.
He has a history of causing drama on the set. Richard Dreyfuss called him an Irish drunken bully when making What About Bob?
That's a lot coming from Richard Dreyfuss, who also has a reputation for being a little salty.
And Bill Murray, again, he's one of those people, seems like he's very good with fans and this and that, but certainly enjoys a beverage or this or that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then the last one on the list, and I'm cutting this guy slack. He just had a kid. He's kind of chilled out over the years, was Bieber. Bill Hader and Jay Farrow years ago said he was like the worst guest on SNL. But Bill says Justin probably was in a bad place when he hosted in 2013. Also, look, I like Bieber. I like some of his music. Over the last few years, he's been very open about, like, I was taking a lot of hard drugs. Right? And you got to remember, that guy was the most popular person on the planet, and he was like 19.
Yeah, like I said, if I were him, I would have done significantly worse than he did as far as behavior goes.
Yeah,
so at like, 19, you're
peeing in a bucket.
I missed
the bucket.
Yeah.
Let's see. You do have Thursday night college football is back. I haven't checked that score, but I believe that's the Colorado North Dakota State game. It's Thursday night. Watch football.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. You're listening to Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Florida doctor goes back to his old practice and pours gallons of urine on the door.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a Wells Fargo employee slept at his desk for 4 days, or hers. But wait, there's a whole lot more. South Carolina HOA tells kids they cannot play at a community park. In Canada, 15 arson attacks, and it was a firefighter who lit the spark. And a German family proves why you need an in-ground pool.
Yeah.
It is time for your headline.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's Mike Hawk.
All right, our top story. We go to Saskatchewan, where an arsonist has been brought to justice. Over the last month, no less than 15 fires have been reported in the area, all having been started intentionally by somebody lighting bales of hay on fire.
Come on, man.
After a lengthy investigation, working with police to check surveillance footage and other evidence, as well as offering a $21,000 reward for information, an arrest was made. But with a twist. The fire chief announced, quote, "Our worst suspicions were confirmed. It is with profound sadness that we report this individual was a member of the fire department."
Yep.
They apologize to the community for this breach of trust, and the individual is now due in court with the RCMP continuing their investigation. I don't know what else they're looking for. Maybe some other fires he might have started.
Yeah, see what else he's done. And look, right. You don't have to apologize for the actions of a person.
Correct.
Right? You know, and I get how the community feels, but like, this is not representative of what it is the rest of these men and women are there to do.
Well, and we've had
this
right?
Their name a profession where everyone's awesome.
Sure.
You can't.
And we've had these conversations over and over again where, you know, an employee of some major corporation does something stupid and then they feel the need to come out. And I understand why they feel the need. I think it's our problem as a society that we put that need on them to say, it's not within our guidelines or with our business practices to do. We know
we
that.
We don't encourage our flight attendants to beat the passengers.
You're a fast food restaurant. We know that you don't want your employees to throw food on the customer.
If you're associated with anything in any way, you hold a personal accountability to anybody who ruins that look. You know?
Exactly.
That's all it is. Really is. Someone from West Virginia does something stupid. I'm not shocked. I'm just like, dude, please.
No kidding.
It's not all of us.
That's all.
Right. Look, if we say something stupid on this radio station, it is not a KISW stance that they believe in that. We're probably going to get fired the next day.
Yeah, and some right, some brands too, right? Like one of their employees goes off on social media on a racist tirade. Like, I'm not holding it against the brand.
No.
Unless
you're the Klan, we go, well, that's kind of your thing. You know, but they don't have to apologize for it. But
are you wearing a light blue sheet?
Light blue.
What does that mean? Mildly racist?
It's a new branch.
No, it means that your clothes are washed or brand new clothes over Navy.
Oh, new blue towel.
And, you know, like, the fall or autumn is one of my favorite seasons, but in the South, it's always hoodie season.
Oh, damn.
Damn.
Yeah. I haven't heard that
good
one.
Call.
That's a good one.
I think I just made it up.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Right? Like, you here for hoodies? Like, no! Sweatshirt season.
Sweatshirts!
Brunette!
In other news, a neighborhood in South Carolina is attempting to find common ground after an HOA had to be dispatched on the community. This one's just stupid. Several parents in the neighborhood told media that their kids love to take advantage of a common circle in the community after school to toss the ball back and forth, eventually blossoming into full-fledged sports games in the circle, from baseball to football to soccer. You know, like kids do. Hey, Ted, come on over. Let's go throw a football around. Hey, Steve, get involved. Let's go play baseball. You know, but the joy in the parents' faces soon turned to rage as some of them received cease and desist letters from the HOA, citing that the circle was to be reserved for everyone in the community, not sanctioned for organized sports.
These are not organized sports. These are kids getting together to play with their neighbors.
And that's what parents said. While the parents fought against the naysayers, others in the neighborhood told the media that they were Let a naysayer know. Others in the neighborhood told the media that they were glad something was being done, saying the sports are bringing tents and whistles to the games, as well as upwards of 30 people collecting together to watch, with one lamenting, quote, before you know it, the Carolina Panthers will be playing here.
Jeez. You guys wouldn't say a goddamn word if the Carolina Panthers ever going to practice in your dumbass cul-de-sac.
I would be willing to bet that everybody who thinks that this is a problem is no younger than the age of 50.
Overwhelmingly.
Both sides are trying to find common ground in the standoff because it's a bunch of kids playing.
So it's an open area. It's a park.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a grassy area that's in the middle of the community.
All right. So, like, we used to do it, and it was tougher as you had to plan it in school or call your friends.
Right.
But now it's much easier, like, who cares? They're kids playing a game.
Well, I'll tell you the problem. So the HOA definitely looks like the bad guys here, and HOAs have done nothing to make themselves not look like bad guys over the years. However, they do have all their charter information and all the BS of it, right? 400 pages of crap. So somewhere in there, I'm sure it says any unsanctioned blah, blah, blah in a public place, right? You can't do it. Most people overlook that when it is children being constructed.
Correct.
But if one person said, hey.
Right.
I hate kids. I love my HOA because I like
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Florida doctor goes back to his old practice and pours gallons of urine on the door.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a Wells Fargo employee slept at his desk for 4 days, or hers. But wait, there's a whole lot more. South Carolina HOA tells kids they cannot play at a community park. In Canada, 15 arson attacks, and it was a firefighter who lit the spark. And a German family proves why you need an in-ground pool.
Yeah.
It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the headlines. Here's my cock.
All right, our top story, we're going to Saskatchewan, where an arsonist has been brought to justice. Over the last month, no less than 15 fires have been reported in the area, all having been started intentionally by somebody lighting bales of hay on fire.
Come on, man.
After a lengthy investigation, working with police to check surveillance footage and other evidence, as well as offering a $21,000 reward for information, an arrest was made. But with a twist. The fire chief announced, quote, our worst suspicions were confirmed. It is with profound sadness that we report this individual was a member of the fire department.
Yep.
They apologize to the community for this breach of trust, and the individual is now due in court with the RCMP continuing their investigation. I don't know what else they're looking for. Maybe some other fires he might have started.
Yeah, see what else he's done. And like, right. You don't have to apologize for the actions of a person.
Correct.
Right? You know, and I get how the community feels, but like, no, this is not representative of what it is the rest of these men and women are there to do.
Well, and we've had
this
these
their name a profession where everyone's awesome.
Sure.
You can't.
And we've had these conversations over and over again where, you know, an employee of some major corporation does something stupid and then they feel the need to come out. And I understand why they feel the need. I think it's our problem as a society that we put that need on them to say, it's not within our guidelines or with our business practices to do. We know
that. We don't encourage our flight attendants to be the passengers.
You're a fast food restaurant. We know that you don't want your employees to throw food on the customer.
If you're associated with anything in any way, you hold a personal accountability to anybody who ruins that look. You know?
Exactly.
That's all it is. Really is. Someone from West Virginia does something stupid. I'm not shocked. Right. I'm just like, dude, please.
No kidding.
It's not all of us.
That's all.
Right. Look, if we say something stupid on this radio station, it is not a KISW stance that they believe in. That we're probably going to get fired the next day.
Yeah, and some brands too, right? Like one of their employees goes off on social media on a racist tirade. Like, I don't know, I'm not holding it against the brand.
No.
Unless you're
the Klan, we go, well, that's kind of your thing. You know, but they don't have to apologize for it. But
are you wearing a light blue sheet?
Light blue.
What does that mean? Mildly racist?
It's a new branch.
No, it means that your clothes are washed or brand new clothes that were navy.
And you know, like the fall or autumn is one of my favorite seasons, but in the South it's always hoodie season.
Oh damn.
Damn.
Yeah. I haven't heard that one. That's a good one.
I gotta spade it up.
That's a good one.
Right? Like you're here for hoodies? Like, no! Sweatshirt season.
Sweatshirts!
Brunette!
In other news, a neighborhood in South Carolina is attempting to find common ground after an HOA had to be dispatched on the community. This one's just stupid. Several parents in the neighborhood told media that their kids love to take advantage of a common circle in the community after school to toss the ball back and forth, eventually blossoming into full-fledged sports games in the circle, from baseball to football to soccer. You know, like kids do. Hey, Ted, come on over. Let's go throw a football around. Hey, Steve, get involved. Let's go play baseball. You know. But the joy in the parents' faces soon turned to rage as some of them received cease and desist letters from the HOA, citing that the circle was to be reserved for everyone in the community, not sanctioned for organized sports.
These are not organized sports. These are kids getting together to play with their neighbors.
And that's what parents said. While the parents fought against the naysayers, others in the neighborhood told the media that they were... Let a naysayer know. Others in the neighborhood told the media that they were glad something was being done, saying the sports are bringing tents and whistles to the games, as well as upwards of 30 people collecting together to watch, with one lamenting, quote, "Before you know it, the Carolina Panthers will be playing here."
Jeez. You guys wouldn't say a goddamn word if the Carolina Panthers ever going to practice in your dumbass cul-de-sac.
I would be willing to bet that everybody who thinks that this is a problem is no younger than the age of 50.
Overwhelmingly.
Both sides are trying to find common ground in the standoff because it's a bunch of kids playing.
So it's an open area. It's a park.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a grassy area that's in the middle of the community.
All right. So, like, we used to do it, and it was tougher as you had to plan it in school or call your friends.
Right.
But now it's much easier, like, who cares? They're kids playing a game.
Well, I'll tell you the problem. And so the HOA definitely looks like the bad guys here, and HOAs have done nothing to make themselves not look like bad guys over the years. However, they do have all their charter information and all the BS of it, right? 400 pages of crap. So somewhere in there, I'm sure it says any unsanctioned blah, blah, blah in a public place, right? You can't do it. Most people overlook that when it is children being constructed.
Correct.
But if one person says, hey.
Right.
I hate kids. I love my HOA because I like living under other people's rules. I found your byline. The HOA, at that point, even if they're not feeling it,
right,
they still have to recognize it, because the argument would be, well, if you're not going to do anything about it, why is that a bylaw?
And even if they're bringing tents and whistles into it, heaven forbid a parent actually sees their kids building their own sports league at this point, a couple sports teams, and getting involved in watching and rooting on their kids.
Does it say what sport?
No, it doesn't.
At multiple sports.
Yeah. All right.
It was multiple
their kids sports. Do whatever they wanted to do in a field or a basketball court.
I mean, look, we're going to play baseball today.
I went to grade school with a kid, and his house, right, it happened to be one of those, like, I don't know how to explain it. It was like an alley, but it was grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we would play football in there,
mm-hmm.
and then almost every time a cop would show up, and this finally the one cop showed up and just went, look, just go down the street. That old lady calls me every time you guys play football.
Here, guys. Right. Speaking of football, men's room sports, the Mariners have the night off while they're on the road, but you do have some college ball on tonight on Fox, ESPN, and you can also watch Eastern Washington over on ESPN+. They'll start right after the show.
All right.
As far as your weather, a little bit of clouds moving in to cool things down around 57 tonight. As for tomorrow, it's going to shine bright for Metallica, gang. Expecting a perfectly clear, sunny 82-degree day.
Yeah.
And that is it for your headlines with that, Mike Hawkins.
Speaking of Metallica, a Metallica-inspired Bad Choice Friday on the way, and the return of Ted versus the FCC as we make it to the three-day weekend.
Yes, indeed. It's all true. But in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The men's room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.